Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, won't you? I spent 2 or 3 days studying faithfulness. I thought we'd go from long-suffering, patience, kindness to faithfulness. But late yesterday afternoon, it seemed we shouldn't do that today. I've profited mightily by that study. I wanted to talk to you about the faithfulness of stewardship. It would tie in very well with our lesson last week. But we have to obey the Holy Ghost. He knows what we need to hear. And I just sensed, though I'd spent 2 days studying, about had the scriptures in my thinking, to go in another direction. So I want to talk to you about spiritual warfare. We may get back to faithfulness, and then we may never. Who knows? But let's look at these verses frequently tied in with spiritual warfare in chapter 10. I beseech you, verse 2, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you see the word war and warfare? Interestingly enough, we had decades in the church where spiritual warfare was the hot topic. And if you listened to the voices that were speaking, spiritual warfare meant to them warring against the devil. But I have a hot flash for you. You can't war against the devil and succeed. That's why Jesus came. If you could have succeeded standing against the devil in your own power, might, and ability, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come. But because you couldn't succeed, he came, it says, to destroy the works of the devil and to render the devil idle, powerless, until that time when he'd be cast into the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone. And that day for him is coming. In the meantime, our war is not with the devil, because the devil has been defeated. Once an enemy has been defeated, we send an occupational army. World War II, they sent an occupational army into Germany. I think it was 4 countries, may have been 5. The country was split 4 or 5 ways. That's how the Berlin Wall was erected. And each country had a territory to oversee. They weren't trying to defeat Germany. Germany and Hitler had been defeated. Now they're occupying. They're the occupational force. They're standing against the uprise of any little pockets of evil and letting the people know we are here. And they fed the people. The people were starving to death. There had been no industry, no farming during the time of war. And masses of food and goodwill were sent to the Germans. Nobody was against them. Everybody was for them. But we were against the evil that was being purported from that place. And so we sent an occupation force to make sure the evil did not arise. We did the same thing in Japan. In fact, we were in Japan for 7 years. 7 years we occupied. We helped them rearrange their government. Their emperor spoke for the first time. They had never heard the voice of their emperor. We rearranged their school system and instigated middle schools, what we would call middle schools. All they had was elementary school. And then if you did well, you could eventually go to university. And so we helped them rearrange their school system. They were not allowed to fly the Japanese flag without permission. The flag of the rising sun did not fly because they didn't want the people to be in that mode, that control mode that had caused them to be a part of World War II. And so when the Korean conflict and communism began to arise in great strength, they gave the Japanese more liberty. They had curtailed the Japanese military. The Japanese were not allowed to have military, and so they helped the Japanese reinstate their military in order to protect themselves from communism that was invading that part of the country. But we were not trying to defeat them. They were defeated. See, Satan has been defeated. You can't defeat him. He has been defeated. Jesus came and defeated him. Now, Colossians 2:15 talks about having spoiled principalities and powers. It's the work of the cross that's spoiled. The word spoiled is robbed or stripped or made nothing. If I send you to the store the list of groceries, things that I need, but I give you no money, you're not going to be able to succeed. And Satan is nothing. He was brought to nothing, and he cannot succeed if you know he's nothing. If you don't give him credence in your life. Ephesians said, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place. It means you have to give him a place. You have to give him a place. You have to surrender to him. Now, it is understanding warfare that we understand our surrender. Because in this passage, it's talking about warfare, but the devil is not mentioned. In fact, in the New Testament, the devil and warfare are never mentioned together. We are not fighting the devil. Jesus did that. The devil has been defeated. It says he's been spoiled. Well, when you've been spoiled, If you have spoiled food in your refrigerator, you've got to recognize it. My favorite, you know, is the pink stuff that grows. I appreciate the green stuff, but the pink stuff is just cute. But I'm not going to eat any of it. I don't know. Wayne and I save leftovers so on garbage day we can throw them all out. Is that what you do? Something about throwing out leftovers that I don't think my mother would approve of, you know. Though she's in heaven, she has a whole different mindset. Aren't you glad you're going to heaven and get a new mindset? Understand some things, and some things will change for you. It'll be a wonderful day. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. I mean, don't be reluctant to go, but don't go before you're 70 and by reason of strength 80 years. Don't go before your job is done. When your job is done, you can be like Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished. And when you're finished, you're free to go. Make that choice. Head on out. When you're finished and your family's finished with you. Did you get that part? I know for a long time I just say it out of my mouth, you know, if when I get elderly and get to the point where I can't rock and pray, then I'm finished. And one day I said that for years. I said, I'm going to rock and pray, and if I can't rock and pray, there's no use my staying here. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, you would not stay to be a comfort to Wayne Cumby. I said, okay, if I can rock and pray and be a comfort to Wayne Cumby, then I'm staying. I stand corrected. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You know, that's the chastening of the Lord. That's what the chastening of the Lord is. It's a word of correction. My thinking was wrong. He could see I'd said that long enough. He wanted to bring that correction to me. Well, in this passage of Scripture, you have warfare, but you don't have the devil. Because we're not fighting with him. And warfare and the devil are never mentioned together in the New Testament. Now, here's the war. Casting down imaginations, our reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The war that you're fighting is in your mind. Spiritual warfare is in the mind. Now, it says we have some weapons with which to fight that war. And the first weapon, you know very well, is to renew the mind. Get God's thoughts in the mind. Meditate in the Scripture night and day. Find out what God is saying. Last week we talked about being a hearer and a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. And the Scripture says in James chapter 1, hearers are deceived. Just because you've heard the truth doesn't mean you can be successful, but you have to take the truth that you've heard, the truth that you're meditating in, the truth that you're concentrating in, and put that truth into practice. Well, the weapon that's going to protect the mind is your ability to digest the truth and to put the truth into practice, to be a hearer and doer. Now, it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that's verse 4, are not of the flesh. In other words, you've got to choose, if you're going to succeed in this war, the war that's in your mind. How many recognize you have a war in your mind from time to time? I mean, if you don't, you need to write a book, because we need to hear what you have to say. But it says our weapons are not carnal. That means there's some weapons that won't work. Some carnal weapons. The word carnal means of the flesh. And the flesh, it says, profits nothing. You will never win any battle with the flesh. You will never win it saying, I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to say that. You may say that 5 or 10 minutes, and then you'll say it. And the minute you say it, you realize, by the look on their face, you think, I knew I shouldn't have said it. Have you ever done that? We usually do that at home with the family that we love. We realize, just let it slide, don't say it. And then after a while you say it, and then you live in regret. You think, that didn't work, shouldn't have said it. You know, there's Holy Ghost on the inside. He arrests us. He goes, there isn't a nation in the world where I speak. If you go, they may not speak English, but they know what that means. Children know what that means all around the world. And we say yes, and some say see, and in Russia they say da. But you go, they got it. And this Holy Ghost on the inside knows what's not going to work for you. And he's going to program you and help you organize your mind and organize your thinking as you meditate in the Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. That means meditation is done by the mouth. It's done by what I say. I read the Word and I begin to say. I read 1 Corinthians 13 and say, I am patient, or I am long-suffering and kind. I am not jealous, envy, or boastful. I'm simply putting the Word of God in my mouth, because it's by putting it in my mouth that it sinks into my spirit. And it is from the realm of the spirit that it rises up to rescue my mind. One little lady told me this. Is my one of my favorite stories. You've heard it before. She and her husband were on the verge of divorce. And she began to say, I love him, I love him, I love him. That was a far cry from how she felt. See, we're not guided by our feelings. We're guided by the Word of the living God. She was guided by the fact that she knew divorce was bad for her, bad for her husband, bad for her children. She knew what the scripture said, and she wanted to hold her marriage together till death do us part. But in the natural, there wasn't much hope of that. She told me she's coming around the lake. Tell me what lake she's coming around. So she'd been saying for weeks and weeks, even into months, every time she got a chance, well, I just love him. I just love him. She's still here, by the way. They're still here 20 years later. Because she put the word of God in her mouth. She did something with her mind that said, I'm finished with you. She said, I even told him one day, you say that one more time and I'm out of this house. Do you understand me? I'm going to my mother's. And I won't be back and you can't enter my mother's. You'll never see me again. And she said, I meant it. But she said with her mouth, I love him. He said something coming around the lake that she didn't particularly like. And she opened her mouth and she's going to tell him, take me to my mother's. And she says, exactly the thought that I had. And when I opened my mouth said, I really love you. This is what she said to me. Why did I do that? She had renewed her mind. She had given her mind an alternative. She had washed away the thought of the world. You cannot win by the flesh or by unrenewed thoughts. The only way you can win any battle is by thinking what God thinks, saying what God said. The Old Testament says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, if my thoughts are not God's thoughts and my thoughts won't work, I should make some effort to get God's thoughts, to find out what God is saying. When God says, love your enemy, and somebody of your household becomes your enemy, you begin to say, what would we do with our enemy? And you go to the Word, because we're going to put the Word in our mind, and then we're going to act and respond from the Word that we now have in it. If you put it in your mind, you're getting it in your spirit at the same time. If you put it in your spirit, it's rising to your mind in revelation. And it says, do good to those that hate you and persecute and say all manner of evil against you falsely. So if you hate somebody in your household, or some relative or some neighbor, you're going to do something good for them because that's what God said. I don't mean you felt like doing something good for them. You're just going to do it. You're just going to do it. Do is something you do. Isn't that profound? It's not something you think. I thought about it. I meant to. I was going to. No, do it. What are you going to do? One lady called me. Her husband had really done her in. She was so stressed out, she thought if I could just talk to Becky, and she called, and I went, wow. That's my usual line of response. That's my everyday line of response. That's the way I'm probably going to respond to you if you call. Wow. So then I opened the scripture and read it to her and said, you have to do something. Do something. She said, you're kidding. I said, well, it's not my idea. I might have an alternate idea, but it is the idea of God. You've got to choose a weapon that will work. And God's weaponry will work. And what God says will work. And what you say and what you think is not going to work. I saw on a police program, a man had taken a lady captive. He had her at gunpoint. And the police were there. But all they had was the revolver. I don't know a thing about weapons. But they had the revolver that they normally wear. And those revolvers were not adequate to cover the distance to rescue the lady. They needed a sharpshooter and a different type of weapon. They had the wrong weapon. And one policeman, in frustration, seeing that things were not coming down like they wanted them to and the lady might lose her life, he pulled out his revolver, and the other policeman looked at him and said, you know that's not going to work. See, it was the wrong weapon. It just was the wrong weapon. They just needed a, you know how they do on the dramas, the sharpshooter on the roof. I'm sure they had sent for one, they couldn't do it with that weapon. There are some things, some weapons that will not work. And we talked about be ye kind. Kindness always works. It's the weapon of choice. This week we were in what we call the place. That's where my daddy lives. It's called the place. And this little lady comes down the hall, precious little lady. I had met her once or twice. And she's all distressed because her three-way light bulb doesn't work. And the maintenance man was supposed to bring a new three-way light bulb, but he didn't. And she asked him about it, and he kind of must have shrugged his shoulders like, oh, I forgot or something. And she was just bummed out about that three-way light bulb. Oh, you know. So I said to Wayne, it was about 8:45 at night. I said, you know, if you hurry, you can rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. And so he said he got it. It's be kind. Kindness is an attitude that prompts you to act. I could have said, oh, that's too bad. I bet he'll bring that tomorrow for you. Been easy to say that. Been easier to say that. So Wayne dashed out, got a three-way light bulb and put it in. It's wonderful to be able to solve a problem with a three-way light bulb and $1.52. It's just a great thing. What a solution. I was at lunch with a group of ladies years and years and years ago now, and one lady was saying this, talking about her daughter and what her daughter really needed. And she said, I sense in the spirit that somebody could really pick that up in the spirit and do that for her. And she went on, I'm just listening, going, wow. Scripture says the multitude of words that wanteth not sin means the more you say, the more likely you are to say the wrong thing. So I don't say much until I have something to say. Unless you're my best and dearest friend, I have four or five people I'd probably say too much to. But to the rest of the world, I'm very cautious because Pastor told me years ago, what you promote, you're responsible for. So I try not to promote anything I don't think is going to really work. And I'm very cautious about my words. And so this lady kept saying her daughter needed this, and she'd really prayed for her, and they really desperately needed it. And she sensed in the spirit somebody could do this. And I thought, well, we can agree with that. You know, I went on with my life. And every now and then I'd think about it. Thought, you know, somebody, she's right. Somebody really could do that for her. Do. What'd I say? I must have thought it. I don't know how many times I went over that and thought about the conversation. I said, you know, she is right. You can check your spirit and you can tell in the spirit. That's right. Somebody could do that. And then one day I had this marvelous revelation. I was the one. I never thought about it before because it was far beyond my financial means. Financially, it couldn't do it. It's going to cost about $1,200. Never done anything of that magnitude for anybody else in my life. Didn't have the ability or the capacity to do that, and yet God laid it on my heart. Well, I know we can solve this quick. I'll mention this to Wayne, and he'll say we can't do that, and then I'm off the hook, see. And he said, well, Becky, if you sense we should do that, we'll work it out. So we got our thing together, and actually we did it for between $300 and $400. It was a miracle. Oh, it was such a miracle. And we were able to sneak it in, and that's the way I like to function. They, to this day, can't figure out how that happened. And I said, that was wonderful, wasn't it? I'm not going to let them know that I did it. You know, that's just me. That's just what I believe in. If I can sneak it in, you'll never know. And we were able to do. Well, I had a war in my mind, because in my mind, I know I can't do that. $1,200. I asked Wayne, because I'd already figured it up, how much do you think that cost? He said, over $1,000, I know. I'm thinking, phew, that's what I thought. But my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Do you know that? Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow on. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere he leads me. Anywhere he leads me. He leads us to do. Well, he leads us to do something with our mind. And the battle that you face is in your mind. Now, you may be a verbal person. And when you get stressed out, you may be aggressive and angry, full of words. You may be a pouter. You may be despondent. You may fall into a coma, you know. Have you ever done that? You just can't go on. There's an answer for the mind, and the answer is found in the Word. And the warfare is always in the mind and in the flesh. Now look at James chapter 4. But we have to choose a white weapon, and fleshly weapons won't work. Anger won't work. It's a fleshly weapon. Division and strife won't work. It's a fleshly weapon. Envy won't work. It's a fleshly weapon. James 4:1. You got to choose the right weapon. We had an alligator in our carport. Was that last year? About 4 foot. If you saw where I lived, you'd wonder where he came from. He's just sitting in the carport. Well, we're looking out the window. You know, this has to be done right. Ah, and I looked, well, I said, how long do you think he is? They could tell he's about 4 foot long. And they can be very aggressive, and they're fast. Don't ever think they're slow, because they are very quick on their feet. Even though their feet are small, their legs are non-existent, but they're fast. Well, we decided, what's our best weapon? What's our best option? We'll just stand there and see if he leaves. We had a little bitty gator in the front yard. I mean, about this big. I called my son-in-law. First of all, he needs a body of water. And my son-in-law said, well, I'll come put him in the lake. But you know that little thing didn't want to be bothered? He was so snappy. And my son-in-law looked at me and he said, duct tape! You got to have the right weapon. And if you're going to conquer the rattling of your mind, you got to have the right weapon. You're not fighting the devil. The devil comes because your mind is so scattered and shattered because you're waving to and fro and weaving here and there. Challenged here and challenged there in your mind. And he comes into that hurricane of the mind and plants his seed and does damage. But if you shore up your mind, having done all to stand, you know, the scripture doesn't say having done all to sit. When the devil comes, he's supposed to find you standing upright and active, that word means. Well, look at here. From whence come wars? Where do wars come from? They come from the devil. No, they don't. The scripture never says that. Religion said that, but scripture doesn't say that. Put that away. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. The members is your flesh or your physical body. So the mind is challenged and the body is challenged. Sometimes you're just tired. Sometimes I'm challenged just because I'm really tired. I've done this and done that and gone here and gone there. If Daddy ever needs assistance, it's midnight or 6 in the morning. They call me at 6 and say, we're going to send for an ambulance for your father. I'm thinking, I said, no, don't. Please don't. I'll be right there. They've already done that twice. It's never profitable for him. I said, let me look at him. Let me check on him first. He's breathing, right? He's conscious, yes. He's not in any pain, right? Because we had done this twice before. I know down the list what we are. Oh, no, man, he's not in any pain, and he's conscious, and he's breathing, all that. I said, I'll be right there. Well, you start your day that early, and you spend half of it in a clinic or an emergency room. You come to the end of the day, the war is because you're just simply too tired to cope, and you've got other things you have to do, and you're too tired. I went to a children's seminar over the weekend. Loved it. Just loved it. I went for your benefit. I don't know if I'll ever tell you what I learned, but I was mightily benefited. And this man who is an expert psychologist who said psychology is a lot of phooey and hooey, he said the damage that's been done to American families was done by psychology. And he said, I am one. Marvelous man. Loved it. And he said they tell you 10 things that you can't say to your children. And he read them all. Really funny things that you would remember. Like, leave me alone, okay? He said, they say, oh, you can't ever say that to a child. He says, I don't know why not. He said, my mother said that all the time. I'm a whole and healthy human being. I have a job. I enjoy my job. I'm not mentally damaged in any way. See, check your spirit. There's some weaponry that's of the spirit that would work. Maybe you could say to a child, you know, mama needs some rest right now. I say to my children, I'm going to shut this door for 30 minutes. And if you knock on this door, this house better be on fire. And they were old enough to understand that. You understand, they weren't 2 or 3 or 4. They were old enough to understand, I have to have some rest. I have to have a few moments to think my own thoughts in Jesus' mighty name. That still happens from time to time. Because life is a challenge. Well, what weapon are you going to choose? You want to choose one that doesn't work? Let me show you one in James that doesn't work. The war you have is in the flesh and in the mind. It's not war with the devil. The devil's been defeated, you see. Chapter 1, verse 20. Here's one thing that's not going to work. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wrath, anger, passion, violence, vengeance, all of those things included. Works not. Are you going to do the work of God? Are you going to be rescued and delivered by being angry and uptight and strung out, stomping your feet, slamming cabinet doors? I learned to sleep with music. We slept all night with music when I was a girl because our neighbor had problems. And their kitchen side was our bedroom side in our lots. The houses are close. And at night, she would get angry frequently. I mean, just about every night. And then she would disappear and not be at home for a long time. I think they would institutionalize her for a while, and then she would be dismissed, and she'd be back, and she'd go back to the same thing. So we grew up with music because Daddy didn't want us to hear, but she would slam cabinet doors and holler. In the middle of the night, you know, you'd hear blam, 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 and loud, angry words. Blam, 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 blam. Well, the louder the word, the louder the music. I grew up that way. I thought everybody played music at night. When Wayne and I got married, I turned on the radio. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting ready for bed." See, there's some weaponry that's of the Spirit, that's directed by the Holy Spirit, that's going to invade your mind and bring peace. Wrath just doesn't happen to be one of them. Unkindness doesn't happen to be one of them. Unforgiveness doesn't happen to be one of them. They're of the flesh. They're not of God. Now look at Romans 7. You know, if you had a poisonous snake in your backyard, you wouldn't go in and get a fork out of the silverware drawer. You'd instantly know, no, that's wrong. That weapon isn't going to work. There was a young man on the news that got bit by a water moccasin. He used the wrong weapon, his bare hands. He reached down, picked him up. He didn't know how to do it. He is going to live, and that's the good news. But it's been traumatic, recovering. 7:23. I see another law in my members, which is your physical body, warring. Where you see war, you see the flesh and the mind. You do not see the devil, because he has been defeated. Warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity the law of my sin, which is in my members. There are actually three laws. Look at verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The spirit man loves God and loves God's law, loves God's word, and wants to walk with God. The mind wavers between yes and no, depending upon if it's renewed or not. If it's renewed, it agrees with the spirit. If it's not renewed, it agrees with the flesh. And bring me to the law of sin, which is in my members. The members, the physical body, advocates the law of sin. Now look at verse 18, this same chapter. The battle is the flesh, and if you choose fleshly weapons, you will lose. The battle is the mind. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. I read that verse for years thinking, how can that be? I made A's in school. I had trouble with that verse. I couldn't figure that out. But I believe God, and I begin to say, in my flesh dwells no good thing. And if we agree with God and we meditate on the Word of God and we put the Word of God in our mind. Now look at Romans 12. This is what we're going to do to win the war. You want to win the war? These are the weapons that will work. This is what will work to win the war. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. This is something you are going to do. Can't do this for you. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, you present your body a living sacrifice. In other words, your body doesn't dominate you. It doesn't control you. It doesn't call the shots in your life. It doesn't lead the parade. You say no to your body. You know what the flesh will do. The flesh always speaks for itself. It always says, do for me, bring to me, give to me. I need this. It's never concerned about the other person. Well, the word says consider the other person better than yourself. Prefer the brethren, esteem others, value others more than you value yourself. If I follow the word, I'm going to value you. If I follow my flesh, I'm going to value me. And if I value me, I've chosen the wrong weapon, and that weapon isn't going to work. It isn't going to bring you safety. It isn't going to bring you security. It isn't going to bring you victory. You've got to choose a weapon. If you're going to kill a coral snake, you better have a hoe and a strong man. Two little ladies were walking across our property. Our property technically has no trespassing signs, but they were walking, taking a walk, and they knocked on my front door, and they said, do you have a hoe? And I said, yes, honey, can we borrow it? There's a little snake down here. And I said, sure. And I went and got it, and when I handed it to her, she said, you're not coming? I thought, you're not going to do this? She said, no, I can't. So I go down there, and it's a baby rattler. So help me, Hannah. I don't know why they say, so help me, Hannah. Well, one thing I know, that they can jump their length. So he's called, but I'm trying to figure out about how long do we think he is. Because they can actually jump their length. If they're 6 foot, they can jump 6 foot. So you have to be very careful that you're not too close. We have a good weapon. We have a really sharp hoe. The problem is the weakness of the person holding the hoe. But we did manage to kill him. I kept saying, I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. Well, Wayne wasn't anywhere around. If he'd have been around, we'd have waited on him. If he'd been any other kind of snake, I'd have said, you know, let him wander off. Leave him alone, ladies. But anyway, it wasn't. It was a little rattler. And so we managed to kill him, but we had the right weapon. If we'd have gone down there with our fork. You can shout at your husband, your friend, your family, all you want, but you've chosen a weapon that's going to cause you damage, and it is not going to bring victory to you. The weapon of your warfare is not carnal. They're not of the flesh. They're not of an unrenewed mind. They're of the Spirit of the living God. And in the Spirit, those things that rise from the Spirit are those things you can walk toward and will bring you great and abiding victory. That's just the truth of it. That's why you have to crucify your flesh and say, no, 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 no. I just sing that to Ashley when she was little. She catches on quick, too. She's a smart little booger. Still is today. I'd sing, no, 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 no. I'd sing about everything. I don't know why. Just raised in a musical household. We weren't vocalists. We were just singers. No, 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 no. One day she looked at me. She's about this high, and she said, yef, 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 yef. I still remember it. Your flesh is always going to rise up and say, oh, why not? It won't hurt. Go ahead. You have rights. They can't do this to you. Your flesh tries to appease you. It tries to get you in its corner. It challenges the mind, and the mind begins to say, you know, they're right. They can't do this to you. Now, you can be mad and unforgiving. I'll never forgive them the longest day I live. And you're on the road to defeat. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As the mind is renewed, you know the will of God. As you know the will of God, hearers of the will of God, then you can do the will of God. You know you can't do what you don't know how to do. But if you get in the Word of God and you meditate, well, those are the two primary ways that you're going to win the war. The war. Now turn to Ephesians 6, and let me explain this to you. You go home and check your Strong's and you read and look and see if the word war and the devil is mentioned in the same context, and you'll find out I have told you the truth. They are not. Now verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word war is not in that verse. The word is wrestle. Now were we wrestling with Hitler or were we at war? Huh? Is there a difference in wrestling and war? We have wrestling matches. Do we have war matches? The word wrestle comes from the root word to vibrate or sway. You know, you put your dollar and a quarter in a drink machine or a candy machine, that's about what it takes now, and the candy doesn't come out. You know what's the first thing everybody does? They try to beat on that machine, get it to vibrate, shake that candy out of it. And that's what this word means, wrestle. It means the devil's going to try to shake some things out of you. He's going to try to sway you and get you to think his thoughts and embrace his way of thinking. But you'll notice in verse 13, therefore take you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. When the devil came to sway you, to vibrate you, to shake you, to get you on his side, to get you embrace the flesh and embrace the mind so that he could defeat you, you were standing. You were not sitting, you were not crawling, you were not lying, you were standing. That means you were ready. You know, I'm a fairly decent cook, and I find out the thing that frustrates me is getting to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, not being ready to cook, not knowing what I'm going to do. I found out I don't do that very well. And so early in the day, I think, now what am I doing tonight? I kind of make a plan. I do really well if by noon or 3 o'clock I know what I'm doing. If I get to 5 o'clock and I'm looking through my pantry, I open the refrigerator and close it, and open it and close it. I'm like the man that opened the refrigerator and closed it, opened and closed it. So many times his wife said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm really hungry, but there's nothing in here I want to eat. But every time I open this door, I lower my standard. And that's about what happens. You just keep opening the door, thinking something will jump out and say, cook me, eat me. You know, if you know how to win the war, then do that and win it. Just do that and win it. That makes me a winner to plan ahead. But when the devil comes, the evil day, it doesn't say the evil day won't come. It says you'll be standing when it does come. And this is how you're standing. Stand therefore, having the loins girt about with truth. Where is the truth? Jesus said, my word is truth. The truth is the word of the living God. So when the devil comes, you're standing in the word. If you're standing in the word, then your heart has the word and your mind is renewed in the word. So when the devil comes, I know what God is saying. I'm not confused by the devil's words. See, when he came to Eve, he says, hath God said. He tried to wrestle with her, to vibrate her, to sway her from the word that she knew or was supposed to know. And he did exactly that. From the Genesis all the way through Revelation, it says the devil is the great deceiver or is crafty, deceitful. And that's what he does, is try to shake your mind and get the thoughts of God out of your mind and the thoughts of hell in your mind and get you to move in the wrong direction, get you to yield to your flesh, get you to holler and stomp your foot or to pout and refuse to speak. It doesn't matter if you holler or you pout. So that he can defeat you. But when he comes, you see you have the truth. You know the word. You know the word says overcome evil with good. So you're already thinking, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? The breastplate of righteousness. That means I know I'm God's child. My sins have been washed away. I know I'm seated in heavenly places. Seated in heavenly places. Seated. If you're seated in heavenly places, the scripture says you are, then you're looking down on the devil. He's looking up at you, and it's a great distance from here to there. Now keep your finger in that weapon. Let me show you that in that scripture. Just turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what Jesus did for you. If I know who I am, see, a child that goes to his daddy's office and wants to get candy out of his daddy's candy jar just opens the door and goes on in because he knows who he is. And the secretary knows who he is, and she lets him pass by. Because she knows that's the boss's son. Do you know I'm God's kid? And I have authority. I'm seated with him and his authority. You know what the head enjoys, the body enjoys? If that wasn't so, this morning you could have left your body in bed and brought your head to Bible study. Jesus is the head, and what comes into the head comes into the body, flows into the body, and what the head has, the body has. And the head has authority over the works of the devil. He didn't do that for his own benefit. He did that for years. And what is the head's is the body's. It says, we have, verse 6, has raised us up together and made us sit together. You know what together means? It doesn't mean separate. It means together. Wayne and I, one time we were going to eat together, and I went to one steakhouse, he went to another. We were confused, and I waited and waited and waited, and he didn't come, and I thought, well, he got hung up at the office or something. And I ordered my meal, and about 10 or 15 minutes from the end of his lunch hour, he comes flying in. He said, I was sitting over at Golden Corral, and it dawned on me I'm in the wrong place. I must be in the wrong place. Thank God for the Holy Ghost to help you when you're in the wrong place. He helps you in the natural and the supernatural too. He helps you because he wants victory for you, because God sent him to guide you into victory, to put you in a place of success. And so if you hear and if you obey, then successful and triumphant you can be day after day. That's the spirit of prophecy, in case you didn't recognize that. Now look back. You're seated with him. You are the righteousness of God. Look back at verse 15, chapter 6. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And let me put it to you this way. God's people are never barefoot. And what's on your feet? Peace, peace. It's the good news that always keeps you at peace, no matter what the struggle, what the test. Peace reigns and rules. That's God's best. And Jesus said, I give you my peace. Peace beyond understanding. And that's what I have on my feet. That means I'm walking over every circumstance and I'm not disturbed. I'm not under any stress. I'm not unkind. I have peace, peace. Well, my peace has been challenged a time or two. I had to work at it. I had to choose a weapon that'll work. You know what weapon will work when you lose your peace? Praying in the Spirit. You know you can go to your room, shut the door, and cry, but that's not going to bring you any victory. One lady said, crying always helps me. I says, it never helps me. My nose stops up. My eyes get red. I get where I can't even function. I just check my feet and say, you're under my feet. You're under my feet. Satan's under your feet, and you tramp on him with peace beyond understanding. And you don't buy his words, and you don't let him crawl up and whisper in your ear and plant fear. See, fear won't work. If you're afraid, you're on the wrong road. You've chosen a weapon that won't work. Go after that rattlesnake with a fork. Go after your trauma and fear. Go after it with loud words. Go after it with unkindness. Go after it with unforgiveness. And choose to lose. Because those weapons won't work. Now, Paul and Silas were in prison, Acts chapter 16. They were in the innermost prison, feet fastened in stocks, having been beaten. But they chose a weapon that would work. The weapon they chose, they could have mumbled and grumbled and complained, but the scripture says, do all things without complaining. Paul knew that. That's his words, Church of Philippi. They chose a weapon that would work. It says they prayed and sang praises. And when they did, the Holy Spirit descended and shook that prison until everybody's bands were unfastened and everybody could have walked out and gone free, but they didn't. Paul said, we are all here. A miracle that everybody's bands were loosed and that nobody left. You know how that came about? He chose a weapon that would work. You have to choose a weapon that'll work. You have to have the truth. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to have peace on your feet. Now look, taking the shield of faith, where does faith come from? The Word of the living God. How does that shield form? By what you say. The shield surrounds you. There are big shields and little shields in the Scripture. But it surrounds you and it protects you. If you have a shield, then you have the Word. You have faith, you have the Word. To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. You have the Word of God on your mind and in your mind so that you're protected. Satan said, they can't do that to you. I say to him, looks like they just did. Well, you have rights. So God said, vengeance is mine. I trust him to bring me what I need. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Three of these weaponry we can trace directly to the Word of the living God. And even peace that comes from the gospel. Four of these weaponry. When Jesus was in the wilderness with the Satan, how did he win? What weapon did he choose? He said, it's written. It is the Word of God. That's the first weapon that will make you a winner. Putting that word in your mouth, forming that shield around you by the words that you speak. And then praise is a weapon that'll work. The anointing is a weapon that'll work. I was so thrilled years ago. A little lady had some trauma. Oh, for over a year she struggled till she got really, really set free. But every time Pastor was praying for people, her husband would take her by the hand and bring her up to the altar for prayer. I love that. You know why? He knew what weapon would work. He knew the anointing would work because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. You got to choose a weapon. I don't care what your trauma, what your situation. Your war is not with the devil. Now here's a statement, an astounding statement I read. I didn't think about it until I read it. I thought, that's exactly right. You're not warring with the devil. The devil comes to war with you. He comes to war with you. But when he comes, he finds you standing in the Word of God, standing in the peace of God, standing with the shield of God because you speak words of life and blessing. He finds you equipped for victory. He comes to war with you. But if I have my mind girded, Scripture says girded, clothed. If you put clothes on, you know there's a difference in clothes on and clothes off. Everybody knows that. There's a difference in clothes on the mind, clothes not on the mind. It means you know God, you know the Word of God. I so appreciate every now and then somebody calls, in fact, even recently, and says, I can't find a scripture for my situation. Can you give me a scripture? I need a scripture. They knew they needed to put some clothes on their mind because the battle is not with the devil. He's a defeated foe, you know. At Calvary, under God's feet, he did go. And 3 days and three nights in the pit of hell, Jesus stood. And when it was all over, triumphant he rose. And said to the church, he's under your feet. Now let's finish with Luke 10:19. Maybe that's where we should finish, under your feet. I said, I thought we were at the war with the devil. We're not. He may come to war with you. He may come to wrestle with you. He comes to sway you. He comes to vibrate your life. You know, if you have a flat tire in your car begins to vibrate. Don't let the devil vibrate your life. Be prepared. 10:19, the words of Jesus. Behold, I give unto you power. to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. My, if we had that in our mind, if we had that in our heart, if we clothed ourselves with that verse of Scripture. Say, you can't hurt me. You know, instead of turning to your neighbor or your friend and say, who do you think you are talking to me like that? Turn to the devil. Say to your friend, excuse me just a minute. Who do you think you are? Get down there where you belong. Now, this word power is two different words translated power both times in the King James. One is the word authority, one's the word ability. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy. He does have some ability, but you have authority. A policeman standing in the middle of the road is not standing there in ability. He's standing there in authority. He put his hand out, and because he stood there in a uniform with his hand out, you came to a stop. You could have run over him with a car. You had greater ability. Your car was greater than he, his 150 pounds or 200 pounds standing in the middle of the road. But you chose to yield to his authority. And this verse says, it's not that you have greater ability. God is in you and he has the ability. If you use your authority, then God rises in his ability. And you put that in your mind and you put that in your heart. Where's the war? Cast down imaginations. When you cast something down, you throw it down, you put it down. Cast that down. You recognize a thought that's not a right weapon. Throw it away. I don't know why we do some things we do. You go in the silverware drawer and you pick out that same fork with the prong. Instead of throwing it out, you put it back in the drawer. And you get another fork. And a month later, you come to the same fork with the broken prong. Throw that fork out! It's not a winner. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name for helping us to see and understand. Thank you for the spirit of prophecy that comes this day. Thank you for helping us and standing with each of us so the devil our lives cannot sway. Thank you for bringing your revelation to our heart and to our mind. Thank you for clarifying spiritual warfare. The devil may be at war, but we've already won in Jesus Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.